Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
You know, as a guy who took Spanish for 3 years, I didn't retain much of any of it. I have to, and 3 years is a long time, especially when you're a child, and that's when you learn the most things really well, but I didn't retain a lot. It's hard just learning it in school or through textbooks. Well, Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program. It's available on desktop, or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. They are a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways with its intuitive process. You can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. I started Rosetta Stone and my Spanish skills have definitely improved. I can now say muchas gracias. It's really a better way of learning a language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Comedy Bang Bang listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/comedy. That's rosettastone.com/comedy. This episode of Comedy Bang Bang is brought to you by Audible, the leading provider of audio content on the internet. With Audible, you can enjoy books freely wherever you'd like and doing whatever you'd like. Download a free audiobook and a 30-day free trial by visiting audible.com/bangbang today. That's audible.com/bangbang. Hey, how's it going? This is Hot Saucerman. This is Comedy Death Ray Radio, and I assure you, those of you who want to hear me say what's up, hot dog, I of course am not saying that. But there's big news coming about What's Up Hot Dog and the results of the poll. I haven't talked about it in a while, but if you want to hear What's Up Hot Dog again on the show, if you want to hear me say those particular words in that particular order, the order of What's Up Hot Dog, please vote to save it, and we will be revealing the results of that poll just as soon as humanly possible. It takes a while to tabulate and put it through the Scantron systems, and the computers have to tally. And so be patient, but big news coming about What's Up Hot Dog. I will, of course, not be saying it this program, but just you wait until we figure out exactly what's going on. I am, of course, Hot Sasha, and this is Comedy Death Ray Radio, and I have a fantastic program today. We don't often do long-form interviews, but I did it with Paul Rubens a few weeks ago, and when you have a comic mind like the one that I have on right now, you want to spend as much time as humanly possible with him or her, and just figure out how the watch works, you know? How the watch called the brain works. Does that make sense? Probably not. And we have a talent like that on the show today. You know him from the movie Big Fan, where he was the star. Mm-hmm. You can be a big fan of that movie, mm-hmm. as well as watch it. Mm-hmm. You know him from, he spent 2 decades on The King of Queens. You know him from Ratatouille, where he also spent 2 decades mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. in that, as the voice of Ratatouille. We have Patton Oswalt here with us. Welcome, Patton. Thank you so much for joining us here on Comedy Death Ray Radio.
Thank you, Mott Hoopelman.
Mott the Hoopelman, please.
Yeah, Mott the Hoopelman.
It is great to see you. You haven't been on the show in probably 8 weeks.
Has it been that long? Oh, wow. God, how much was a gallon of milk back then? Was it?
I don't check price tags of anything anymore.
I think I was still on dial-up internet when the last time I was on this show. So the show's really blowing up with the whole wireless stuff now? People can download it a lot easier?
I was thinking about this the other day. Okay, so remember how AOL, you would log on and it would say, you've got mail, and they even made a movie about it, that message.
That phrase.
Yeah. They made a movie based on that message.
Uh-huh.
And it used to be like a treat of like, oh, wow, one of my, 15 friends took the time to write a letter to me.
Yeah.
And you would have about two a day.
Yeah, that's true.
And it would be like, oh, wow, you've got mail. And it would imagine if you logged onto AOL now, much like my upstairs neighbor very loudly that I can hear.
Oh, really?
And just, you've got mail, you've got mail, you've got mail. I mean, how many emails does a guy like you get every day? This is the first part of my question. Okay, how many emails do you get every day?
Uh-huh.
And can you read any of them to us?
I could. You know what? I get about 20 emails a day.
You have to get more than 20.
You know what? It's weird. I had a new email address, and I sent it out to my circle of friends.
Core group.
Andy's got it. You've got it. Because I was starting to get a lot of
When you say Andy, you mean Andy Williams, Andy Richter.
I mean Andy Kindler.
Right. And, all the Andys.
I know what I meant? Andy one. Because you know what I meant with
that. That sounds like a great cyborg.
It does.
Andy one.
Andy one. Where the hell was I going with this?
Well, you're talking about you only get 20 emails a day, which seems impossible to me.
No, well, because I also get a million texts, and I get now there are so many ways to reach people because of Facebook messaging and Twitter DMs that it's almost like email is battling with all the other ones.
I'm fucking with levels right now.
I know.
Am I doing yours? I'm trying to turn me up.
You were fucking with that like my talking was going to cause an explosion. You looked.
No, I'm trying to turn you up.
Oh! I thought I was.
I need to hear all this amazing technology that you're a part of.
I was going
to
take the building down.
is yours too loud now?
No, I sound. Do I sound okay to you guys?
Sounds like there's some sort of echo in here. Is that like it sounds like there's a train outside? What's going on?
Well, there is some weird kind of either filming going.
Yeah.
Something is either going out on the street with the filming, and then there also seem to be all these old school 80s breakdance hip hoppers walking around. It looks like it looks like Zack Snyder's reimagining of Breakin' is going on out there because it's a much harsher version of hip hoppers and
with
break
a lot
dancers.
Of fast motion mixed with slow motion.
Yeah, yeah, they'll start spinning on their back and they'll suddenly slow down and then go really fast again.
What happened to him? Like I was just watching Dawn of the Dead the other day,
oh
and
my
so
God.
Great, and
what
just a normal great. Movie done well.
Not done well, done brilliantly. And a guy that, talk about, you're coming out of the gate, you're remaking a classic beloved film, and you make it better.
Mm-hmm.
That is so unheard of. And then
he tried something new with 300, which was like a new style, basically.
Which I actually thought kind of worked.
Yeah, so
there
it kind
was
of
some
worked.
Cool stuff in there.
But now it just seems like he's repeating that style. Bigger and more slow motiony and more, you know what I mean?
I almost think that he is going through the thing that a lot of great directors go through because he's a young guy. It remains to be seen.
He's a good looking guy too.
Is he?
Oh yeah.
I've never seen him. He's a good looking
dude.
Oh
yeah. Maybe, he's like all buff and.
Oh, maybe he's spending too much time, with the facial lotions and the working out. And he needs to, all the great directors are to look horrible. Look at Alfred Hitchcock. I think that guy.
God.
Yeah, I think that guy.
That guy was a ghost himself.
Yeah, he took a truck stop bath once a year. I think that's all he did.
Threw on a suit.
If I could just soap up my undercarriage, I'll get the shot with Janet Leigh. Just please. And now it's like he's a slave to his own techniques, and I think maybe hopefully he'll break out of it. The opening, the credit sequence of The Watchmen is such great filmmaking because he
was. But you can't make a whole movie that.
No. Yeah, exactly. But it's this thing where he must be so enchanted by the stuff he can do right now because I don't remember any of that stuff being in Dawn of the Dead. Didn't
no,
it all
it's just pure,
go at normal speed.
Yeah, pure filmmaking, like almost cinema verite in some instances.
It's so good. Yeah, he should almost.
I wish I knew what cinema verite means because I just used it. Now I feel very insecure about it.
Good falling out of your skull, didn't it? Though, don't you love saying stuff like that? I love saying per se. I've never known what it meant.
Yeah. IE, what does that IE stand for?
Ergo, I'm not sure, but God, I feel like I gain an inch in height when I say ergo for like a second. He should put his next movie out and there should be some kind of sticker where never speeds up, never slows down. Guaranteed.
That's the Zack Snyder guarantee.
That's the Zack Snyder guarantee. 24 frames a second, we promise. or your money back.
Now, we didn't come on the show to I'm sorry that we got off on a strange tangent there where we started dissing another artist's work. And that's not what we're about here on the show. We want to talk about your work. We want to talk about exactly what you're up to. Now, tell us exactly where Patton Oswalt is at this point in time in his career, in his mindset, in his art. Where exactly, like, where do you go from here? Where have you been? Tell me kind of everything about exactly your artistic mindset right now.
Excuse me.
Oh.
Hello.
Hi.
Pardon me.
Excuse me, we're doing a show here, sir.
I know
please
you are.
Please
again.
Recuse yourself to.
Hello again, my friend. It is I, Don DeMello, theatrical director. Excuse me, am I interrupting anything at all?
Hi, Mr. DeMello. I remember you.
How do you do this? I met you up at your place in Connecticut around the holidays. Don DeMello, theatrical director.
Hi, that's right. How are you? You mean like live theater director?
I beg your pardon?
You mean like live theater director?
That's right. I direct for the theater. I'm a theatrical director.
Mm-hmm.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. I hope I'm not interrupting.
You are interrupting, so your hopes are dashed.
Okay. Not the first time, believe me.
But Patton, let me explain.
Sure.
I'm sorry. We were going to devote an entire hour to you, and we will.
No, that's it's okay.
But let me deal with this first.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
During the holidays, I did a show from my home in Connecticut. That's an important detail. Thank you for reminding me of.
Absolutely. Yes.
Wow.
And Mr. DeMello came in. We learned a little bit about his life.
Uh-huh.
So we learned, I think, enough about your life.
I agree. Absolutely. You learned everything there is to know. I just want to promote my upcoming project, which is happening out here in Southern California. That's the whole reason I came out down here now to talk to you.
You're originally from Connecticut. You've just moved to L.A.?
Yeah, I'm an East Coast guy. And
Mr. DeMello worked for the Rockettes at Radio City
Music Hall. Goodness.
Don't put it in the past tense, my friend. I'll be back next year. You bet your ass I will be. They couldn't do that fucking show without me. Radio City Christmas Spectacular with the Rockettes, beautiful Rockettes.
The latest one, or was this back in the day? Or?
I've been doing it 18 years.
Oh, wow.
18 years of legs, beautiful, beautiful women and their beautiful legs.
Okay.
Yeah. They come out and they hop across the stage with those legs. And that's for daddy, you know what I'm saying?
What's the new show you're doing out here?
I'm out here now directing a production at the Fairy Tale Theater in Pasadena of Cinderella.
Oh, I love that place.
Oh,
I'm doing
yeah.
a production of Cinderella. And it's a children's theater.
Okay, well, great. So people can look up tickets online.
Your tone's a little weird. No, I'm sorry, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, people can look up tickets for that. Great.
Sure, sure
usually
can,
we
yeah.
save the plugs till the end, but thank you so much for dropping by, Mr.
People
DeMello.
Are really going to want to check this production out.
It's great to hear what you're up to.
Special production of Cinderella. It's not going to be typical garbage.
I'm sure it won't, but it's great to hear from you, and we're going to get back to Patton Oswalt here.
A lot of exciting things. For one thing, she's a sex slave is what we have going on in this production.
I don't know.
Cinderella is
a sex slave, because I looked at the text and I said, that doesn't seem so bad having to clean up after three sexy sisters, stepsisters.
I thought the stepsisters were ugly in Cinderella. Aren't they ugly?
I thought there was only two of them.
Right. That's another thing from the text. Well, I added one, and then it says in there that they are ugly, and I says, who wants to look at three ugly girls? Let's get sexy girls, real nice-looking girls in there, and put them in as little clothes as we can get them in. And then
how little is that?
As little as we can get them in and get away with it.
Well, who decides what would be a little bit of clothing to you?
Yeah, is that public decency standards or your standards?
Fairy tale theater standards?
I'm having a lot of conflicts with the fairy tale theater right now. They got a lot of old, preconceived, old-fashioned notions about what constitutes children's entertainment. And I'm saying, let's get three pasties on these women. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, three apiece?
Three pasties.
You mean like
so one per girl?
Huh?
One per girl?
No. Or three per girl. I'm not an animal.
Three per girl. Okay, where do these go? Two on the nips?
That's right. Yeah.
And then one...
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
One.
It's called a pussy paste.
All right.
And I have patent pending of the pussy paste.
Wow, please don't say my name. I know that you don't mean it that way, but wow. Patent pending pussy paste. Oh man.
Wait, pussy paste pending. And pussy pasties are two wildly different things.
I'm literally losing energy as I say that.
What's the matter? This is going to be the hottest production of Cinderella that there ever was in the world.
All right. Well, people can check that out. They can look at your website and thank you.
TonDeMillo.org.
.biz.
.uk.co.
Well, it's great to hear from you. Thank you so much for dropping by. It's at times like these I regret our open door policy.
It's a good policy. You're going to want to come and check out the show.
All right, we certainly will.
Yeah, well, I think you've plugged it enough.
Yeah.
All right, so Patton, you could just let yourself out.
Fairy godmother, by the way.
Right.
She's totally nude, the fairy godmother.
Wait a minute. Then why would you be worrying about the stepsisters?
Yeah, why was that you were pushing the envelope?
You got to build up to it. You got to build up, you know what I'm saying?
I guess so.
Wait, I'm sorry, but if these are actresses who work in children's theater, how did you... I'm wondering, what is the process of convincing them to do... I mean, these are clearly, like, children's theater actors and actresses, right?
Yeah, well, that's right. It has not been easy. It's been... Well, if you really want to know the process, you...
Suppose.
You got to get them involved with drugs, and then you have to be their supplier. That's the time-honored way of doing it from a long way back.
Is that what you do with the Rockettes?
Sure, that's how you get the Rockettes to do what you want them to do. You got to be, you know, you got to be the guy that gets them what they need to carry on.
But all they do is they just do a kick line. Are you making them do stuff they should? I don't understand what
it is. The Rockettes have to do all kinds of things if they want to stay in the Rockettes because a lot of girls could do that, believe me. Any fucking idiot could do that. Don't think you're so special because you're in the Rockettes. I could fire you in a heartbeat. Get over to my place tonight, 8 o'clock. It is a typical thing.
It's a typical time. 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock is a typical time to get back to Connecticut, you know, change into my pajamas. Yeah.
Got to take the train.
Sure. Got to get into Penn Station. Grand Central, take the train. Uh-huh. Depends whether I'm taking a bus or a train.
Like the 620, usually? 620 train?
If I could get the 620, sure, up there, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm just wondering, how did you pitch yourself to the Fairy Tale Theater initially? Did you just did you pitch the show as it is now? Or how did you sell yourself to them? Or did they ask you?
I didn't just get into show business. First of all, the Christmas Spectacular on a resume opens a lot of doors, particularly in the children's theater community.
I can imagine they would, before meeting you, be thrilled to work with you.
Sure.
All the way through the process, they're thrilled to work with me. So I get in there and I tell them, we're going to do a very traditional interactive with the children, maybe get some animals on stage, you know what I'm saying? And they go, terrific, that's great. We sign a contract, and then I say, and by the way, there's going to be a little something for Daddy in this production, too. It's not all for the kids. Daddy's going to like it, too. Daddy's really going to like it.
But then, I'm sorry, but you talked earlier about there was all this friction with them.
Yeah.
So when does the friction, do you then lay it out right there?
I would imagine the minute you say there's got to be something for Daddy and then creepily groan.
Yeah, that
ear.
Kind of, the weird exhalation of phlegmy air, I think, alerts them. That something's coming.
I don't know what you're talking about. I guess we all have a different way of communicating in this world and making ourselves clear. This happens to be my voice.
Okay.
But, you show them a little bit at a time, and then you get to a certain point where you've blown their entire budget for the year.
And what do you blow the budget on? Like you're not spending it on the costumes.
Yeah, there's...
You think I'm going to pay for these drugs out of my own pocket?
Okay. That's all right.
It's an operating expense of the theater to get the desired results. So they got no money, and they got to recoup losses, and they got to open the show.
But
it's that kind of a thing.
But you essentially have naked women on stage, and you're talking earlier about
one naked woman.
Well,
one naked woman and three almost naked women.
They've got
you haven't even talked about Cinderella.
Yeah, what is Cinderella wearing?
Boy, Cinderella. First of all, we're triple casting Cinderella. So I like to get a lot of girls in these shows.
So wait, so three different girls in the same performance, or
three simultaneous Cinderellas?
on at the same time?
That's right.
Do they all? I'm sorry. How
do they alternate lines or alternate words? Or?
They speak like a Greek chorus, like a sexy Greek chorus.
Oh, like in Spider-Man: Turn Off the Dark, the nerds were just shit canned from the show.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay.
But
hello, Broadway.
Hello, Broadway. They are all Greek. Greek girls.
Now you're kind of talking my language, because Greek women are the sexiest, hairiest women on the planet.
Very susceptible to addiction.
How are they dressed? How are the Cinderellas dressed?
Body paint.
Oh, so like in Sports Illustrated, where you paint a swimsuit on them?
Yeah, but we don't take that much time. We just put some paint on there. And then from the waist down, they've got, you know, like animal legs and hooves on there, because a lot of guys are into that.
Wait a minute. You're doing a Cinderella where the Cinderella is like a half animal hybrid?
Yeah.
Some sort of pan-like.
That's right. Yeah, it sort of looks like a goat. Uh-huh. But with a sexy horse tail.
So a goat hooves with a horse tail.
Right. And
didn't know that horse tails were considered sexy.
Oh, they're very sexy. Are you kidding me?
Well, at least then that covers up some naughty bits.
I'm sure that comes in handy.
They're crotchless. The legs.
Okay, well.
Are crotchless, and there are three, you know, they're sex slaves, like I say, so there's a couple of sequences where these guys come in and they've paid for some time with Cinderella. And then, guys, what am I seeing, triple? And that's a funny joke.
I guess so.
Yeah, guess. Does that get a laugh every night? But I'm sorry. Have you done a show?
Yeah.
Are you promoting this? Is this coming? Or have you actually done a show for children yet?
You all right there?
Yeah,
right?
I'm fine.
You got emotional there for a second.
Well, he's eating almonds, so
I got to. We got it. We're opening this weekend, but we have brought in a couple of families to check it out just to sort of give us their feedback, and they were not able to stay for the entire production. I do want to track them down and find out what they felt about it, but they seem to be enjoying it.
How did they seem to be enjoying it?
They were screaming, and, you know, very agitated. They seem very agitated, which is the role of theater.
Oh, so that's what you want your work to do, is to provoke.
Sure, that's right, provoke. Yeah. Come on in, Daddy. You're going to get provoked.
All right. Well, this sounds disgusting. I don't think we can hear another second of this, especially in the middle of what was supposed to be a probing interview with artist Patton Oswalt here.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm sorry, what other... I don't know why I'm asking this. You've been in theater more than... I'm assuming more than 18 years, not just doing the Rockettes.
I started out in the peep shows down in Midtown, and I worked with some very sexy and classy girls there, and then opening came up at Radio City, and I brought my girls over there, and they became the Rockettes.
But have you ever done... is this your first actual play? Have you done other plays?
Well, let's see. Have I done other plays? I did a production of Beauty and the Beast.
Oh.
Where was that? Where was that?
That was out there in Connecticut. I did it.
At
a church. And it was a church basement production of Beauty and the Beast.
Basement? All
right. Yeah, that's right. And there were a lot of different beasts. We got a lot of beasts in there.
Was that a sort of like a Greek chorus as well, triple cast?
It was real animals. We got all kinds of real animals in there, because I had an agreement with the petting zoo.
What kind of agreement?
Yeah, what was this?
What kind of handshake deal went on between you guys?
I was supplying them with some things that those guys needed, and in return, their animals were on loan for the show, and we got some girls that like animals.
Wait, I'm sorry, because the Beauty and the Beast is about a guy that's turned into a beast, and a woman has to kiss him and fall in love with him to turn him back into a human.
Yeah, sure she does. She's got to really show her affections for these beasts if she wants to turn him back into a prince. It was a good show.
The mind reels. How would that show end? Did the beast ever turn?
Yeah, was it a happy ending?
A
I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that.
Hold on.
I was pretty happy. Yeah. But you know what's funny about that is, we didn't catch it until the end of the run. At no time was there ever a transformation back into a person.
Just didn't catch that?
We just forgot about it because we were having so much fun with the section where they fall in love.
Where they show their affections for each other.
And there didn't seem to be any way. Anything after that would have been anticlimactic.
The very definition.
That's right. There was no place to go after we got this poor girl playing Beauty.
Oh,
this poor girl.
You just you got a little really emotional again.
Yeah, she okay? Well, or
she's not okay. No, oh. She's not okay.
Oh, my gosh. This is the only time I've ever seen you actually have some
she
sort of remorse.
She was a good kid. She didn't know that there were going to be quite so many animals. And that it was
she thought there would just be one?
To be honest with you, she thought there was going to be an actor in a mask. And I, you know, kind of sprang it on her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got a lot of different animals.
How many performances occurred
how many?
This?
We ran that show for 18 months.
Wow. Whoa. In this church. But, how were there any
reviews? Off-peak hours?
Yeah, what were the reviews like? Were there like...
Scathing. These reviews were absolutely scathing, one after another. And the police were involved. And we had to start doing it at odd times. We had to start running the show just sort of, what's it called, like a flash mob or whatever. We had to just announce to people, it's happening now. Get down here.
And this was quite a long time ago, it sounds like. So how do you announce to your fans something like that?
We had to go door to door. We had a guy go door to door and knock on people's houses who we had reason to believe would be predisposed to enjoy this show. And say it's
families?
It's happening right now. Yeah, sure, families. That's right. All kinds of people.
Did you ever have like was I mean 18 months in a small Connecticut town? I'm assuming were there repeat customers?
A lot of repeat customers. Yeah, a lot of people coming from out of town. People coming up from Mexico.
Why would people come up from Mexico to Connecticut? It seems like
this?
There's a lot more of that kind of thing going on down
there.
Yeah,
that's
but not like this, baby. This was the best of the best, and they were coming down from Canada. People were coming from all over the world to check out this show. It got to be a real sensation. Yeah, I have to tell you though, Disney sued us. We did get sued by Disney.
I thought Beauty and the Beast was in public domain.
Yeah,
I thought so too. Well, we put Disney's Beauty and the Beast on all the years.
See, that's probably...
That's probably where they got you.
Yeah, that's
the one hiccup
that.
In
your
plan.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what are you going to do, you know?
I don't know.
You came out of that unscathed. Or did you?
You seem to bounce back okay. You're still producing stuff.
Yeah, I'm still out there doing stuff. Yeah. They can't stop me. You know, we ended up not making a dime from it by the time we settled with Disney. They confiscated all the tapes of the show. We taped everyone.
Well, you were taping all the shows?
Every production, and now they're in the Disney vault, you know.
Oh, I hope they open that up.
God, that'd be good. Because now with Blu-ray.
Yeah, you know.
They open the vault from time to time. Maybe they'll let it out.
I'd love to see, like, Song of the South on Blu-ray.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that would be really great.
Disney's Beauty and the Beast, directed by Don DeMello.
Well, I don't know if they would call it Disney's Beauty and the Beast.
It's just a black and white camera footage of the Connecticut mayor.
So you're in previews now. Now, I don't want to be pessimistic. I wish you the best with the production, but if by some chance it doesn't make its full run, and like, do you have anything lined up? I mean, I know you're saying you'll be back in Manhattan next year with the Rockettes, but what if you have like 6-7 months of downtime? Anything else lined up? Or
yeah, that's a good question. I'm thinking of doing a production of Peter Pan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Out here, or just whoever will have you.
Well, the plan now is to try and do it on a boat in international waters so that we can have a little more fun with it.
Okay, let me guess. What's going on here?
What's your conception of Peter? Because usually isn't Peter Pan, isn't the part usually played by a woman?
Usually played by a woman because a young teenage boy can't handle the constraints of the part.
Right.
You know, there'd be laws governing how many shows they can do.
Right, right.
Broadway tends to like to do 8 or 10 per week.
Nothing but limits. Nothing but limits.
Mm-hmm.
But not out on the water. We can do whatever we want. One of the things I keep saying is, how come we have to hear about Captain Hook getting his hand bit off by a crocodile? Why can't we see it?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to see that.
So you want that? You want like a little prequel action,
right?
Where we find out how he lost his hand.
Which means that for every production, we're going to need a different Hook, Captain Hook. You know what I'm
saying? Wait. You want it be? Wouldn't you just have an actor and you'd have like a fake hand and he would get it bitten? You know that.
Does that sound very interesting to you?
I don't know. I mean,
you know what I'm saying? That I could do on land. I'm going to go out to the water and get a guy out there playing Captain Hook and get a crocodile and see what how if we can get the crocodile to bite his hand off at the beginning of the show.
I don't know if you can train crocodiles to...
Yeah, to specifically just bite the guy's hands off. Is that where the drugs would come in, or...?
Well, you'd wrap whatever crocodiles eat around his hand. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm not sure what they
eat.
What it sounds
like
eat.
Humans, I think.
Yeah, they think they just eat humans, so you'd be dangling the whole thing.
You could wrap another human around. Well, no. I don't know. You'd have to figure out something. Some bloody meat.
That's not your under your purview, though. You have technical advisors for that kind of...
I got an animal guy. Hmm. Yeah, I got an animal guy I've been working with ever since that show in Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
And he is hooked but bad on heroin.
And that's another kind of hook that could be in the show.
Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh.
Maybe they call him Captain Hook because... Think of it that way.
Yeah, because he's hooked.
Right.
Well, these guys are going to need to, you know, we're going to have to get him out of the water somehow. It's going to be easy.
I don't really know what you would do. I don't know what your take would be on a show about a magical flying hermaphrodite that comes to children in the night and then whisks them away into the darkness. I mean, I don't really see
Who's the hermaphrodite? Is that Tinkerbell?
Well, isn't it like, I mean, I'm just
saying.
Oh,
meaning Peter Pan.
Yeah. That seems pretty wholesome. I mean, I don't know what you would.
One of my ideas is that he has deluded himself into thinking he can fly. He can't fly. And he convinces all these children he can fly. Mm-hmm. And they just plummet. Mm-hmm. They just step out the window
of the
nursery and then plummet into the water from a high distance, you know. So that's a laugh right there.
That's a laugh.
You like to plan out the laugh lines.
Yeah, you got the sequence. What am I seeing? Triple, and then the kids falling, plummeting into water.
Sure. Yeah. You get some laughs on there.
You're, a lot of gags.
Huh? Oh, yeah, we got to have the gags on there. So this is going to be Disney's Peter Pan out on international waters.
Okay.
And
then I would imagine then it's pretty much just the same storyline. Peter Pan rallies against Captain Hook, forms kind of an army of children.
Yeah, a lot of children.
Please don't be saying what I think
really
you're
would
saying.
Not.
I mean, that's there are a lot of things we joke about on this show, that is one that I find to be almost off limits. Not quite, but almost.
Well, I think we're going to have girls playing the children, if that makes you feel any better.
Yeah, probably.
I'm talking about nice adult girls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, adult girls playing the young boys.
Yeah. That's the idea.
Except for Peter Pan?
Peter Pan, it's a good question, because it's been done that way. Peter Pan has been played by a girl.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, I think I want 3 or 4 girls playing Peter Pan.
It might be nice to get a few teenage boys in there, though.
Teenage boys, maybe.
I hate to
ask
this.
Wait a minute, now I'm on your side.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
But what would be what would be the way that Peter Pan would rally and manipulate these girls playing boys into being in his army? Like,
well, I think it's been done that he's got a sword. I think he should have a whip. I want to see him with a cat of nine tails to spur the lost boys on against
God.
Captain Hook. And, you know, maybe we'll go ahead and call them the lost girls. It might be a little bit better because I've known a lot of lost girls in my time. A lot of lost girls. And I model them after that.
I recall you having a signature phrase when you work with the Rockettes.
Sure.
Would this be a similar kind of thing? Or you
bring
using...
out the girls.
Yeah,
that's right. Anytime anything is boring in one of my shows, we bring out the girls. If I see the audience nodding off, whatever's going on, I say, bring out the girls. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time, you know, in this Cinderella production, we've got a whole pen full of girls.
A pen?
Yeah, I keep them in a pen. And, you know, if the production lags at any moment, I'll just say, bring out the girls, and they'll come out.
Then you kind of open up the gate of the pen.
Open up the pen, yeah.
And they just come spilling out?
Yeah, and we're going to keep some water and snacks on the stage, so that's where they go, you know, because they'll be thirsty. And they get out there and do some dancing or something.
Now, does the fairy tale theater,
I gotta listen. I hate to interrupt, but you know, now that I have a daughter, I have a lot of mailings for children's theaters and children's.
Oh well, this show is for you.
I'm just saying that normally we would get flyers and stuff from the fairy tale theater. And we just I just realized we got one the other day, and it is the one for Cinderella.
Oh,
but there's no image. Was there? It's like they just said Cinderella, and there looked like there might have been an image on there, but now there's nothing there.
That's one of the conflicts right there. Yeah. Well, we had the three goat girls on there, and they're pleasuring some guy.
Wait, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And in the distance is a party going on in the castle, and they're sort of casting their gaze at the castle, sort of like, oh, I wish I could go to that party, while they're pleasuring this guy. And then we had the nude fairy godmother up in the corner there, superimposed into the picture, like she's on the way to the rescue with her magic wand. And it told the story of the whole show.
Do you have the people in the castle looking back at the three goat girls saying, I wish I could be at that party, too? So it's almost like...
Right,
or exactly. Is their party even better than theirs?
Oh, the party... Oh, well, once we get to the... Yeah, now that's crazy. Once we get to the actual party the Prince Charming is throwing...
Mm-hmm. I hate to ask, but what goes on at the party?
Yeah.
I mean, oh, what could be crazier than what you've described?
It's an absolute bacchanal. It's an insane orgy of everything you've ever wanted to see. Name one thing you want to see.
Maybe at a children's theater, like maybe some nice dancing or...
Yeah, some pretty some ball gowns.
No, you're not going to see that. Mm. I've seen any ball. There's some dancing.
Oh, I love the scene where the clock is striking midnight and she has to run away and she leaves her glass slipper. Remember that?
Oh yeah.
So
right.
How do you guys do that? Like that? I bet that's just wonderful, right?
Yeah, she leaves behind all three of her pasties,
including the
patent pending pussy pasty.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy.
So, you know what? It's going to be very memorable. And kids are going to love it, and parents are going to love it. It's not one of these things where the parents are sitting there going, oh, Jesus, this is just for kids. You know what I'm saying?
They're saying if this is not for kids, nor anyone else.
Well, it's the story. I mean, this is an enduring classic story, you know, the good story of Cinderella, and the story is intact. So I see your point on that.
I mean, yeah, I guess the basic structure is still there, and a good story is a good story.
Every girl wants to be a princess. You know what's funny, though, come to think of it? We never do get to the ending.
He never...
You know what? That's funny. I just realized that now. We never get to the point where because it's anticlimactic after the orgy at the party where she goes, you know, and then the clock strikes 12 and she runs out and leaves all of her pasties and she runs through the audience and interacts with the audience. Oh. And then that's the end. That's how we're ending our production. But
interactive theater? Yeah.
Very interactive.
Now, I've never actually heard of the Fairy Tale Theater in Pasadena. Is this a real place? Or
oh, they have a long tradition of doing wonderful productions but exclusively just for children.
Right. Hence the Fairy Tale Theater.
Garbage. Well, absolute garbage. I went to see their Hansel and Gretel, and I'm like, this is going to be a good one. They're literally taken captive. You know what I'm saying?
They're giving candy.
Yes, this is going to be interesting, right? You know, they give bondage type of thing. They played with none of it. They told it exactly the way you read it 1,000 times. Nothing for daddy.
All right, well, I want to ask you a very important question. We need to take a break, but I want to find out a little bit more about your background when we come back. Patton, can you stick around? I hate to get derailed this.
No, this is way more interesting than anything I would have had to say. I have a lot of questions, too, actually.
Okay, great. So let's take a break. This is Comedy Death Ray Radio, and we are back. We'll have more with Patton Oswalt, more with Don DeMello. Bring out the girls. Hey, everyone. This is Scott Aukerman, host of Comedy Death Ray Radio. You're listening to me. Head on over to earwolf.com, by the way. You can buy t-shirts there. Get my face on your breasts. You can buy exclusive downloads. You can listen to other shows like Mike Detective, very close to my heart. You can even comment on all of the episodes. And if you're not an a-hole, we won't delete you. So that's a challenge for yourself, not to be an asshole, right? Hey. So in any case, earwolf.com is where it's at. We also have polls on the blog. So much over there. Get on over there and I'll meet you there. I'm going there right now.
Never be rude to an Arab, an Israeli, or Saudi, or Jew. for a clout. And never put down.
Welcome back. This is Comedy Death Ray Radio. I'm, of course, Hotz Osterman. I'm here with my guest, Patton Oswalt, and a guy who barged in the middle of it, Don DeMillo. Pardon me.
Did I barge in? I didn't mean to barge in. Sorry, I just came down to promote Cinderella's. Disney Cinderella at the Fairy Tale Theater.
Well, I wouldn't. Might not want to call it Disney Cinderella.
Why not?
I'd just call it Cinderella.
We'll see. You know, a lot of people are fans of Disney.
Yes.
Some would say that's kind of a bait and switch.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm trying to get butts in the seats and on the stage. Mm-hmm. And
wait, people sit on the stage like it's a Rolling Stones concert?
If they want to, sure. Yeah, they want to get up close and see the action and touch and feel, that's fine. Mm. Very interactive, these shows.
Well, Don, you're a theatrical producer. We've talked
Director.
We've talked a little bit about your background, but I'm a little more interested in your going a little further back.
Oh, aha. Uh-huh.
You know, and kind of figuring out a little more about you, about why you are the way you are. What shaped you as a child. I mean, we were going to do this with Patton. Mm-hmm. We were going to figure out a lot about his kind of art and his truth-telling, but...
Well, we could do that too, huh?
Well, I don't know why you make it sound so unseemly. I mean, that's what we had planned.
Art.
It was just
like
an interview.
Art. I'm a big fan of art.
Yeah.
Right.
But where'd you grow up?
Yeah.
Well, I grew up in Connecticut.
That's, really?
Yeah, that's always where I've been from.
Didn't stray far.
No, I didn't go too far. I like it up there.
I'm just trying to figure out, like, what made it, a young DeMillo, what drew you to the theater? Because did you start off as an actor, or did you always want to direct?
Oh, well, I grew up in a whorehouse. And,
okay, see, this is answering a lot of questions already.
What's that? Why?
I mean, remember when Richard Pryor grew up in that whorehouse?
Yeah.
And, you know,
is that right?
He became, I think it affected him, you know?
Oh, I don't think it really had any effect on me. I think it was a typical upbringing in most respects. I was surrounded by whores at all times. And there were guys coming in there banging these whores all the time.
Yeah.
How old were you?
Oh, I've from as early as I can remember, I lived in the whorehouse. I was adopted by the whorehouse.
The house itself adopted you?
It was something to keep up the morale of the girls.
Oh, okay.
So you didn't have a particular mother?
No, I was community raised by the whores.
Mm-hmm.
Takes a village.
Were you a foundling? Were you left at the doorstep, or did they go to an orphanage and go, we want a kid? The whorehouse wants
a kid.
Yeah,
that's right. The whorehouse wants a kid. And they went in there, and they there was a lot of lying to get, because you know what? The orphanages don't want to sign a kid over to a whorehouse.
No, of course not.
That's last thing they want
to
do.
Seems like they would have to grease a lot of palms.
What did they say to get you? What were they saying?
Well, they went in there with a guy who claimed to be the United States ambassador to China. In reality, he was just some pervert. And that greased a lot of wheels right there. He had a lot of falsified paperwork.
How did he get? He's just some pervert. How did he get all this paperwork?
Yeah, what is he? How does
I'm not saying it was good, but he had all of these diplomatic documents and things like that. In the orphanage, you know, they don't have a lot of money to go check out paperwork.
Sure.
Wow, the story is bringing up a lot of emotions.
Okay?
Yeah, I'm getting very emotional about it.
It's like an Al Swearengen kind of thing from Deadwood. Let me ask, what is your actual first memory that you can remember actually having? Like mine, for instance, is growing up in Norfolk, Virginia, and seeing snow out of a balcony window in the apartment. I remember seeing snow.
Wow.
And that's always that was my first memory.
Sweet.
I was like 4 years old. Like, what would be your first memory?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I remember seeing one of the whores get shot.
Huh. Yeah.
By a John, and he went in there and I forget what the issue was. I probably didn't understand it at the time, but I was just in there and she got shot in the tummy.
In the tummy?
Right in the tummy. And she says, you know, she didn't want to make me nervous. She said, well, I've been shot in the tummy, Don. Which is go call a doctor.
Uh-huh.
And I says, I'm a doctor.
How old were you?
Well, I wasn't. I was pretending.
I didn't
realize the situation was so serious.
So what did you want to achieve as a doctor, pretending to be a doctor?
Well, I went and got a Band-Aid.
Did you think it was like a big game she was playing? Like,
that's right. I thought it was a lot of fun. Yeah, sure. So anyway, yeah, that's my first memory is watching that whore get shot.
Whatever happened to her?
Oh, gosh. Well, I don't believe that she was of any use to the whorehouse anymore after that.
Oh, but she made it out okay.
Good question. I was told that she went to live on a farm. I don't know if that's necessarily true.
Huh.
But anyway,
in retrospect,
yeah,
that's a very pleasant memory.
So, do you think that's where you got your love of performing then, like from being in a whorehouse? Because I mean, the women, I guess, have to perform. I don't want to get crass
if they don't want to get shot. Yeah, so that's right. High stakes performance. You got to act like you like it because you don't know who's got a gun or a knife.
They didn't check for these kind of things at the door.
No, they never did. Isn't that funny?
I don't know if it's funny, but
after
it is funny. They could have, you know, at some point they could have said, "Hey, no knives and guns, and we're checking." But
even after a whore got gut shot, they didn't go, "Hey, maybe we should institute that policy." That just never,
not to the best of my knowledge, you know.
Was this the only whorehouse in town? I have a feeling that this was a town A, and maybe if I'm wrong, I'm thinking this is a town with multiple whorehouses, and you were not necessarily in the best one in town.
Oh, it couldn't have been the best one, no.
No.
It was a real ramshackle house, for one thing. The physical space itself was uninspiring.
Uninspiring to perform in?
Yes. It was, okay. You know, and that taught me something. You know, you gotta be in a classroom if you really want the girls to do their best.
See, I can see the roots of directing right there. Like, he's already thinking in terms of art design and set design. I mean, is that...
It was an aesthetically depressing space for the girls to perform in, and so I'm not surprised a few of them got shot.
But at the same time, it was all you know. How did you know that it was depressing? Did you ever, like, what was the first time you saw something that was aesthetically pleasing to
you? Yeah, that you're like, hey, we
Well, I remember going to the post office and thinking, this is beautiful. Have you guys ever been to a post office?
One or two in my life, but what were you mailing? Do you remember?
What was I mailing? I was mailing letters. I just wrote to Mom, and on the envelope, you know, just trying to reach my actual birth parents. Mm. Yeah, I wrote thousands of those.
Really? What did you? What were you trying to communicate to her?
Oh, I just wanted to tell her, you know, hey, come and get me away from these whores.
See, it doesn't sound as happy as you're making it out to be.
It's a little weird.
Oh, no. That's kids go through that phase where they don't want, you know what I mean, you know, where they don't want to live at home anymore and they want to run away. And I just, you know, there were, believe it or not, times when I wanted to run away from the whorehouse.
From what age to what age did you go through that phase?
I would say probably 7 to 18when I was trying to, I wanted to escape from the whorehouse.
Your entire childhood then?
Oh, I don't know about that.
What happened at 18 to kind of turn you around on it?
Oh, the whorehouse burned down.
And so, how did that come to be? I hate to ask, but was it an accident?
You know something? They never investigated. Huh. I specifically remember the fire chief out there. Somebody says, does this look like arson? He goes, who gives a shit? That was it for that.
But there now, by the time you're 18, had you been drawn to the theater at this point, or was it shortly after the...
Yeah, did you go to college? Yeah. Did you study fine arts in college?
Believe it or not, I am totally self-trained, self-learned, never did go to any sort of a college whatsoever.
Any sort of high school?
There's been no education whatsoever.
How did a young Don DeMello learn how to read?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
And write, because you've been writing these letters.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I made up my own language.
Oh.
Written language. Yeah, those letters would have been unintelligible if they had ever reached my birth mother, which I never had the chance of doing.
What can you describe this language for us at all? Is it sort of like Pig Latin or Esperanto? Or?
No, I mean, I could speak English, but just when I sat down to write, it was all confidence and no skill. Mm-hmm. In other words, it was just shapes and lines and shapes.
Was it like a pictures. Rebus where you were trying to
put
pictures down? And
It was pictographs, right, exactly. I don't know what a rebus is. Nobody does.
Well, okay. I mean, a lot of people who have actually been to high school or
nobody
grade school even.
We're not
judging you. That was mean. But I'm just wondering, how are you just, again, you said confidence and no skills. Did you just confident your way into, I'm going to direct theater? Let me direct. What was your first job?
My first job.
In the theater.
Oh, my first job in the theater was.
Oh, wait a minute. We almost hit, what was your first job? Before we get to your first theater job, you were about to tell us that.
Did you have jobs before you got into theater?
Oh, sure. Everybody struggles a little bit here and there.
Sure.
Yeah, my first job was going into the sewers and trying to gather up like raccoons and stuff like that.
Because they're clogging the sewers, or?
Were they dead or alive?
Honestly, there was a guy that lived in a van who gave me $10 per raccoon.
Huh.
That was my first job.
Did he say you have to go in the sewers, or just that's where they all were?
That's where they are in the daytime.
Mm.
The raccoons.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, they're sleeping in the sewers. So you get down there, you get them while they're sleeping. You hit them over the head with a hammer, and you bring them up to a guy in a van and get $10 per raccoon.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what he was doing with
them. Dead or alive?
It didn't matter.
He didn't care.
He didn't care. Sometimes it was more fun to bring him to him alive because you said, hey, I got some raccoons. You throw him into the van, and then, you know, they're running around in the van, and we had a lot of laughs.
But, is that where you learned your sense of humor that you carry over into your work?
Yeah.
Sure.
It seems to be a lot of animals in your shows. You mentioned animals in Cinderella, which I didn't want
to... And laughs.
And laughs,
oh,
yeah.
Lots of laughs. Oh, yeah. You got to throw in a little bit of laughs. You know, that's one thing I've learned in my years in the theater. Let's get some laughs going.
Okay, so you had this one particular job of gathering raccoons. And
I gathered up raccoons.
Did you have any other source of employment until you became a director?
Well, let's see. Sometimes I would, you know, sort of, you know how you do, you have those jobs where you do damage to property? You know what I'm saying?
Not really. I mean,
no.
As a construction worker or a demolition expert?
No. I'm saying, you know, if you get hired, you know, you get hired to damage some property that somebody then wants to just put a claim in on, you know. So I did that. I was...
Would you damage the property?
I was a property damager for several years.
I don't think that's a technical thing. It sounds like insurance fraud.
No, yeah. I worked in the field of property damage for several years for a very good property damaging firm.
What was the name of the firm?
His name was Gene. And,
okay.
You know, you would sometimes you'd have a lot of fun and you'd be creative and you'd cut down a tree and make sure that it fell on top of a car or something like that.
I guess that comes with experience, kind of knowing which way a tree is going to fall depending on the cuts.
Trial and error.
Mm.
So, you know,
as Michael Richards told us,
you learn by doing.
I don't know. Did Michael Richards tell us trial and error?
Oh yeah. Oh,
all right.
Yeah.
I'm imagining you don't see a lot of movies.
I don't get out to the movies very much. I don't know.
You just stay in and rent, or
yeah. Certain kind of movies I'm interested in, and other ones, more mainstream movies, I have no interest in whatsoever.
Mm. So tell us about the first time then.
When did you hear the siren call of the theater?
Okay, yes. I was in New York, and a guy...
How did you make your way out to New York?
Yeah,
just to back up a little bit. You're in Connecticut.
Did you save up the raccoon money or the demolition money?
I had saved up all that money, and it was right after the whorehouse burned down, and some of the whores had an inkling that I had done it, and it was getting hot for me and up in town, and I says, I got to get out of here. So I
went lay low, huh?
I just wanted to get lost in the city for a while.
Mm. It's easy to do.
It is. Oh, in Manhattan, it sure is.
I went straight to Times Square. I says, I want to get lost. And some guy handed me a flyer for a peep show. And I went in there and I fell in love with the theater right then and there. That was the moment. You know, these beautiful girls up there doing theater.
What kind of?
I'm talking about.
Hesitate to inquire down this line of thinking, but what kind of theater exactly?
You know,
were they doing?
Yeah. Up there playing with themselves and with each other.
Oh boy,
having a lot of fun up there for the guys in the pee in the little boots.
But it sounds like you, as much as you enjoyed it, did you see possibilities that weren't being exploited or?
It's a big leap.
Yeah, yeah.
You go from a whorehouse with women doing essentially the same thing, but now people are watching.
Yeah. Right.
Much the same way I would imagine you as a little boy and a little voyeur were watching Johns go in and out.
Where did you want to take it? Where did you want to take it? What you were looking.
These are great questions. This was the situation. It was around the time that movie Home Alone came out. And that was a monster hit.
So that is one that you did see.
I didn't see it.
Oh, okay.
I saw the lines around the block. I says, this thing is making huge money. And somebody says, me sure, because it's kids. You know what I'm saying? Because the kids want to see it again and again and again, and their parents got to go, and they got to get them. You know, kids are so stupid, they're going to eat all that crap that they're selling in the goddamn concessions. They're so stupid. You know, so I says to myself, well, this is perfect. bring theater to children. So that was the whole idea, and I've been passionate about it ever since.
I mean, a lot of people, they just see Home Alone. You see the lines around the block for Home Alone, and you translate that into a career.
Money, that's right.
So in that
nobody was bringing theater. Theater only existed for adults one at a time in booths to watch.
Well, see,
one at a time all by themselves. That was the only thing that was going on in theater.
Your definition of theater is a huge umbrella for one thing. It includes all kinds of things, and you have a very eclectic taste, and I'm impressed. But I just don't understand. Why were you watching a peep show and saying, okay, this has got to be for children? Children are not, why aren't children? Were you sitting there going, why aren't children seeing this? Was that what you were
thinking? I would imagine, not to answer for you, but he, as a child, is so used to seeing that kind of experience, he's become inured to it, if that is the correct word. Again, another one.
Are
that
we
I used.
Putting words in your mouth? I'm sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't know how to make a movie. And I did know the theater was cheap and that the guys seemed to be enjoying it in the booths. And I says, let's bring children into the theater. Why is this so complicated?
Okay.
I don't understand what about it is so weird. Because children, you make a lot of money if you bring children and their parents into things. And theater is cheaper than movies.
It's almost like four times as much money if a family comes than just,
yeah, that's
know,
the idea, yeah.
Than just
bring
a gentleman.
Them all in there. Well, yeah, that's right. So I says, and I'm looking at these booths going, they're too, you know, it's just stupid. They're only one person could fit in here at a time. Let's get families. So that was the idea, and it's worked out great for me ever since.
Do you mind me saying, you know, you're passionate about the theater.
Oh, I sure am.
And you're passionate about children's theater.
Boy, oh boy.
And yet, every time you've mentioned kids, there seems to be an undercurrent of contempt and hatred for children. Am I wrong in that, or?
You're not wrong, and I'll tell you, it's prevented me from getting a lot of jobs in children's theater when I start to talk about.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah.
You're glad to hear that?
Well, unfortunately, nice. I must.
You know what? Okay, I want to know how it caused you. Give me a typical pitch. I'm running a children's theater. We're about to book our season. What show should we do? And so you're coming in, Mr. DeMello. You have some ideas.
Let's see here. So what?
Wait, who should I be in this situation? That's a little unfair for you to start
a
role play.
Right. You're the resident director that has been putting on shows. You've done, you know. Rumpelstiltskin,
sure.
And Mother Goose, and stuff like that.
So I must have been. How long have I been working there? I must have been
20-year, a beloved 25-year veteran.
25-year, and what did I start when I was like 10, or am I?
Oh,
an old
you're
man,
are you playing or? The age you are now?
I don't have to, or I could. That would be fun. So okay, so I've been there since I was 15. It was my first job.
And you're beloved, and people love your
productions. I'm sort of like Jim Shooter at Marvel Comics. He got a job when he was 12.
Exactly.
Okay.
But we're starting to plateau, so let's bring in maybe some new
directors. What is my name first of all?
Your name?
Yeah, or do I decide that? Wait, or does Don decide that? He's the director. Should you be directing this?
No, you guys are doing a great job self-directing. And that's, a lot of directing is letting others self-direct.
Oh, okay. So
I would imagine in the Beauty and the Beast.
So what's my name, and then who are you, and what's our relationship?
Your name is Scott, and my name is Patton. Why are we making this so complicated?
Well, I just need to know where I am. It's kind of unfair to start a role play and then leave me out of it, and then, you know what I mean?
You are alt-universe Scott Aukerman who went into children's theater.
And then you're
Alt-Universe Patton Oswalt, who produces children's theater and runs a small theater.
So, wow, we're still friends even in the alternate universe. It's almost like we were destined to be.
Hey, you read some Marvel what-ifs, and like Wolverine and Cyclops will still be friends in Victorian times?
Sure, sure. Just like one different choice will have.
Exactly.
What am I in this alternate universe?
Well,
because I would like to be.
Maybe he's the same guy, but
I would say his personality is so powerful that he exists across time and dimensions.
Maybe he slipped through like a wormhole in this universe where like he's like, you know what, I need to get out of here.
Yes.
Too many people are, you know, the heat is on.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So I go and visit another universe.
I'm connected to too much property damage.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
You know, it's like those horrors chasing you. It's why you went to New York. Like so many people in the world are chasing you.
So I fled to another dimension. And what's different in this dimension? Just that you two have different jobs?
Yeah, I think that's the only difference.
That's the only difference.
That's the one and only difference in the whole.
Wait, who has our jobs then in this alternate universe.
I would imagine the producer and resident director at the Fairy Tale Theater.
Wow, they've really done well.
They've really done well. Yeah.
So it's so Ratatouille still exists. It's just
it's the voice of a an interdimensional children's theater producer.
Okay, I'm on board for this.
And good. Makes sense to you.
We've known each other 25 years.
25 years.
And does he step out of the wormhole right in front of us, or he...
That would terrify us, no.
Okay, so...
He steps out of the wormhole in the alley like Michael Bean, Terminator.
Yeah, great.
Am I naked?
I would imagine you would steal some pants off of a wino or something. Or
I might steal some pants off of a wealthy man.
I'm sorry, that was... Presumptuous. You steal a wealthy man's pants.
So I come in with the most beautiful pair of pants you have ever seen in your life.
And a shirtless torso?
Because, I stole a nice shirt and I'm in a top coat and tails. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Whoa.
Okay, so here we go. So
let's listen to this guy.
So we're starting right now with this role play then.
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
All right, and are we starting with your entrance or do we have a little conversation?
Well, let's
make some small talk before he enters. Okay.
Well, I thought that the work you did on Puss in Boots was fantastic. The kids were just over the moon.
Thank you so much. It's always great to hear from my friend of 25 years. And it's wonderful to hear that you enjoyed exactly what we were doing. And what I like to do is exactly what has always been done with these fairy tales and give the people what they expect.
Why deviate from the script? They're classics. They're perennials.
Mm-hmm. Let's shake hands and agree that we won't. Oh, what's?
Excuse me. Am I interrupting?
Look at this
gentleman.
I don't
want to interrupt anything. Hello.
I guess our open door policy here at the theater is paying off because a very rich man just walked in.
Yes, that's right. Don DeMello, theatrical director from another dimension.
Theatrical director?
Yes, that's correct.
Well, that's...
Wait,
that's...
why is that what I fixated on? Theatrical director? Seems like the another dimension would have been far more interesting to me.
Well, you know, we're used to so much craziness in the theater that I don't think that phases us.
Gay people, this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, gay people in the
dimension. You got them in this dimension? I'm sorry to hear it.
Not much is different from yours.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Hello, gentlemen.
Hey.
Oh, hi.
I understand you're in the business of producing children's theater.
How did you come to know that?
Talking about
that. Oh, how did I come to know it? Oh, Christ almighty. This is hard. These role-playing things are hard. How did I come to know? Jesus Christ.
Can I just guess?
A sign on the door.
Yeah, I was going to maybe ask.
With our pictures.
Was it the fact that it's our pictures next to the Enchanted Grove Children's Theater? Is that what maybe... led you to believe that that's...
There you go. I saw that and I said, these guys are in the business of children's theater.
Okay, well...
And that's a smart business to be in. Let me tell you something.
Okay.
Because if you put on a show that's just for Daddy, Daddy's going to come all by himself. And he's not going to buy any popcorn because he's on a diet. And he's not going to buy any of your overpriced drinks because he's got sense and reason.
But I found that when a man is away from his family, he sometimes cheats on his diet because he doesn't have...
That is true, sir.
So we actually do really well in concessions when we just do shows for daddies.
Oh, do you sometimes just do the daddy shows?
I just do daddy shows normally at midnight.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We do midnight shows here. Yeah,
this is my suggestion, though.
Oh.
Put those shows in front of the kids. Get daddy in there with the kids so that the kids are begging daddy for more snacks and stuff like that, and you can really make money.
Okay, well, that's pretty much what we do here at the Children's Theater is we put on shows for families mostly.
Yeah,
we mostly do the midnight daddy shows.
Here's where you're stupid.
I'd love to hear this.
Because you think you have to choose between a daddy show and a kiddie show, okay? So you're putting on shows that the kids love in the daytime and the daddies can't stand, and then at night you're putting on daddy shows that the kids can't come to. What I'm saying is put them together. Huh.
Give us an example. For instance, what if we did...
You were mentioning Puss in Boots. We just concluded great run of 20 years.
I tell you what.
Eight performances a day.
I want to pitch you is a Three Little Pigs production, where instead of building houses, they put together outfits for themselves. You understand what I'm saying?
I don't understand what you're saying.
They're sewing clothing for themselves?
Yeah, that's right. And one of them makes an outfit that's so flimsy that along comes a big bad wolf. Who should actually be a wolf, if possible?
We can do that.
I mean, I'm thinking he thinks you're saying an actual live wolf.
No, yeah, we can do that. That's no problem.
Okay.
People love animals. People love girls in danger.
I have a relationship with a zookeeper here in town.
No, I'm confused. You just jumped ahead. You said these are little pigs are making clothing.
Oh, yeah, no, the pigs are girls, beautiful girls, the most beautiful girls you can find.
Beautiful girl pigs?
Beautiful, no, these are real girls.
Real girls. Human
girls.
Oh, I get it.
Beautiful,
I get it.
Gorgeous.
Okay, well, that's easy to do. I have a relationship with a zoologist who I supply him with drugs. And he gives me animals quite often. So
your business model is very impressive.
Thank you so much.
Very, very impressive.
Thank you.
All right. So he'll need to supply a wolf, okay?
No problem.
Yeah.
All right. So the wolf comes on, and I don't know if you could teach a wolf to blow hard. Probably not.
That's the animal trainer's department. I wouldn't.
Yeah. If you put enough Thorazine into him, he can just kind of like open up his mouth and not bite.
We'll do
down.
Like a sound effect or something.
And then you might need to do an effect off stage with a fan or something like that, and it blows off this outfit made of straw. Mm-hmm. One of the girl pigs has made herself an outfit of straw, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
It blows right off, and she's naked, and she's running away from this wolf, and the wolf is running, and he wants to eat her. And if possible, if we could really get the feeling that this girl is truly in danger of being eaten by this actual wolf.
When you say eaten, do you mean actually consumed or
devour
her?
I think so. That's my view. I mean, you could hire a person to play the wolf, and then you could play some other game or something like that, something sexy. But I think it's nice if girls are in danger. Guys love to see girls.
You seem to be
danger. Describing
a chase scene. We have a very small stage. Where would she be running?
All through the audience.
Oh, that's good. I like this.
She's got nothing on at this point. She's climbing over the audience. You know. Things like that to get away from this wolf, who, of course, is climbing over them as well.
Well, I'd have one concern,
uh-huh.
Which is I am currently the director.
Yeah.
I would have to quit, but I'm willing to do that if I can get free tickets to every performance.
Why would you? Oh, because I would be directing this production?
Yeah.
It sounds like you're pitching yourself as the director.
Yeah, that's my game.
I would be willing to quit in exchange for free tickets. Do you think that would be possible?
To every show.
Every show with and a special seat kind of in the front in the splash zone, if you will, where probably the seat where the girl climbs up over my head and kind of gives me.
Can I just say, though, you're saying three little pigs. Now, this is a chase scene. The straw blows off. Do we have the other two? Where does it go from there, though?
Well, you'd want to get.
I'm sorry about this guy, by the way. I'm on board.
Listen, he's helping the process.
It's children's
theater.
I'm
helping the process.
Wondering how.
Yeah, I apologize for him. We've been friends for 25 years.
And you've known this guy for 4 minutes.
This guy is a fucking asshole.
Is that right? I'm sorry to hear that.
I don't get it. He doesn't.
2 decades of successful performances.
He's like the reverse Rumpelstiltskin. He doesn't want to turn straw into gold. He wants to turn your gold into fucking shit. I'm sorry about him.
Gold. It's an animal assaulting a nude woman in front
this
of children.
This guy is an extra-dimensional genius, and you're sitting here questioning him? You fucking asshole. How dare
idea.
You? Yes.
Why don't you go sit in your car?
Who, me?
Him.
Him? Yeah.
And you and me will cut down a tree right next to me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm fucking on board with this.
I've understood. Hey, I've understood absolutely every word you've said.
I
don't know
why
there was no time to leave the room.
You sad little man.
I bring joy to the families and children of
you
this community.
You bring nothing
for 20
you
years.
You bring a heart made of shit.
Where does all this
and
come from?
And vowel sounds from Australia.
You're the godparent of my daughter. What?
Your daughter is a fucking freak.
Oh my
and I've
God.
Turned her into a freak.
What did you do?
I don't want to. Wait, what? I don't want to hear this.
On off-peak hours, I've turned your daughter into the freakiest, nastiest little thing that I have ever, ever, ever seen.
Come with me back to my dimension.
Are you infecting our dimension with your... you literally transformed in front of me.
Come on, Ben.
What is happening? I have to stop this invasion.
It's an unknown side effect of this alternate dimension where my personality is contagious.
Hey, I am locking the door of this office.
Join with us, Pat.
I am locking the door of this office, and I'm not letting you guys.
Bring out the girls.
I'm not letting you guys out.
Bring out the girls.
Just spread your infection.
Am I right, Don?
You think you guys are getting out of this room? without paying the toll. Oh, there's a toll you gotta pay.
Oh, what kind of toll
in
have we
flesh.
Paid? Oh, I'm gonna pay that toll.
There's right gonna down. Be there's gonna be nice. Part of you dripping off of my fingers.
I got a flesh.
What you
pass.
Did to my daughter.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you now,
I'll bring my
you're
daughter.
Gonna describe what you did to my daughter in full detail.
It, tell
and
it
you're gonna describe it slowly.
Let's go meet some other guy.
Yeah, let's go find
bring
him.
Bring out the girls, the guys, whoever.
And scene.
Perfect.
Boy, that was a really fun improv.
It's a really deep role playing there. That was wow.
That's the way a surprising number of my pitch meetings go.
Wow, I really like that. All right, well, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll be right back with Patton. Oh, Patton, you wanted to play a song, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of you know about this girl, Andrea Wallace, who unfortunately and I guess very stupidly, she's young.
She's people, young. We don't mean to indemnify her.
No. She just did something dumb. She posted kind of a racist rant on the internet about Asians in the library at, I believe it's UCLA or something. Anyway, a very talented young songwriter named Jimmy Wong, I believe. Wrote a very heartfelt response song.
Almost like when Danny Aiello released Papa Just Wants the Best for You.
There you go. Exactly.
Okay. In response to Papa Don't Preach?
Yes.
Beautiful. I've got to look it up.
Yeah, look it up. And so this is his response song. We'll hear a little bit of her dialogue that he's responding to, and then this song, and Patton wanted to play it. And when we come back, we will have more Patton Oswalt, more Don DeMello. This is Comedy Death Ray Radio.
And then all of a sudden, when I'm about to, like, reach an epiphany, over here from somewhere, oh, ching chong ling long ting tong, oh.
Greetings, Alexandra Warris. I am not the most politically correct person, so please do not find offensive. Thank you.
Damn girl, you so feisty. You so feisty, they should call you Alexandra Great Wall Ace. Now don't pretend I didn't see you watch me talk on my phone yesterday, all sexy. Ching chong wing wong. Baby, it's all just code. It's the way I tell the ladies it's time to get funky. I hope one day you can meet my mother, my brother, sisters, grandmothers, grandpas and cousins. Oh, what they're really doing on those Friday nights is showing me how to cook and dress. Cause baby, I wanna take you out and blow your freaking mind. And underneath the pounds of makeup and your baby blue eyes, I know there's a lot of pain and hurt for such a big brain to spend all night studying poli sci. I pick up my phone and say ching chong. It means I love you ding long. I really want you ting tong. I don't actually know what that means. Ching chong. It's never ending ding long. My head is spinning ting tong. Still don't know what that means.
Ooh, Alex, I just wanna take my phone out and talk dirty to you all day long. But I know you're busy cramming all those big hard theories and arguments.
You ain't that polite, nice American girl your mama raised you to be. So when you reach that epiphany, wait, are you freaking kidding me? If you have an epiphany every single time you study, that means you're probably doing something wrong. But I like it when you're wrong. And underneath the pounds of makeup and your baby blue eyes, oh, I know there's a lot of pain and hurt for such a big brain to spend all night studying poli sci. I pick up my phone and say ching chong. It means I love you ding long. I really want you ting tong. I really don't know what that means. Ching chong. It's never ending ding long. My head is spinning ting tong. is. I just want to make sure you know that it's not the type of sushi. But I can't even say that I'm actually Chinese. And that's a whole nother country. And it's bigger.
That is, thank you, Engineer Doug, for turning on my microphone, and everyone's microphone. Thank you very much, by the way. You do a great job in the show. Everyone, say hi to Engineer Doug.
Hello, Doug.
This is Comedy Death Row Radio. I'm Hot Sausserman. We're here with Patton Oswalt and Don DeMello, theatrical director.
Yeah.
What was your website again?
DonDeMello.org.
Biz.uk.co.
Okay, got it. Are you on Twitter or LinkedIn or anything like that?
I don't know anything about that.
All right, sorry.
All right, well, it is time in the show. A lot of shows come to this time, and why should this be an exception? It's time to play Would You Rather.
Ooh, oh, beautiful.
Can you keep it down? The Would You Rather theme is playing. All right, it's time to play Would You Rather.
I love that little sting at the beginning just to announce the show. It's
we got to shorten that theme song, I feel like. I don't know, don't you think?
No.
Does that go on a little long? No, what, as a theatrical director, what is your true opinion?
Yeah, no, I thought it was a little too short.
Okay. We all know how this is played. People send in Would You Rather scenarios to our Twitter account, which is CDRWYR, at CDRWYR, and send in those, and we will use them on the show. I will open the floor for questions. You're free to ask any question about this, either scenario that you want, and then I'll close the floor. You'll vote. We all know how it works. All right, so...
I wish I had a floor that opened and closed.
Oh, what would you do with that?
It'd be amazing. If people I didn't like would stand on it, I'd open the door. I'd open the floor.
How would you lure them into that specific space? Or do you just wish the entire Earth was like that and you could, with a thought, open up the...
Wherever I went?
Yeah.
I'll go to a... Hey, as long as I'm hopping between dimensions, I'll go to a dimension where you can open the floor anytime you want.
And just send people to the bowels of hell.
Yeah.
Any floor that you happen to be standing on, you can open it and send people away.
That's right. And if everybody has that power, I don't know what... Would everybody be in hell?
It's like nuclear detente. If everyone has enough weapons, then no one uses them.
Yeah, well, then I'd go to a dimension where only I can do it.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. All right, this comes to us from Kunto Says. Kunto Says asks, would you rather sweat live ants or quantum leap into whoever is about to have sex with Glenn Beck every time he has sex? Would you rather sweat live ants or quantum leap into whoever is about to have sex with Glenn Beck every time he has sex? I am now opening the floor for questions. Patton. The floor recognizes Patton Oswalt of the Virginia Oswalts.
He saw
snow for his very first memory. He looked out
it was really
the window
beautiful,
and it was snowing. Yeah. This is Patton Oswalt, and he has a question.
Well, about the quantum leaping into Glenn Beck. Or in Glenn Beck's partner. Mm-hmm. When he's done, can I quantum leap back out? And B, if he's having an affair, will I have that knowledge and can use it? Will I know if he's having sex with someone other than his wife?
Great two-part question. Let me address your parts in order, okay, if that's possible. You don't quantum leap the second he climaxes. You quantum leap the minute that you wipe his sperm either off of you or flush out your vagina, whatever, or a-hole, or whatever.
We're assuming that whoever has sex with him immediately goes and flushes out that orifice.
Well, it gets to be so commonplace for you that becomes the very, like, he starts to wonder, like, why is every person that I'm with, like, immediately trying to wash off?
Right.
Unfortunately, he has taken a healthy dose of Viagra each time, so it takes him a long time to come. To answer your second question, and the second question is, can you use this information against him?
Right.
Unfortunately, when you go back into your own body, you have selective amnesia, meaning you remember that something horrible has happened to you, uh-huh. and there are kind of like repressed memories that affect your every action and make you depressed all day, but you don't remember any specifics, no.
Can you command the ants?
Okay, great question. See, this is how you play, Dodd. You're an old hand to this, even it being your first time, I believe. Sure. Did you play this last time you were here?
No,
I don't remember.
No.
Okay, great. Of course, yes. You command an army of ants that can rise up and take over the world.
So you sweat them out and you command them for their entire lifetime?
For their entire lifetime,
and you become their queen ant, in a sense.
Yes, of course. And yes, sending off sort of messages to them almost telepathically, you know?
Yeah, you have pheromones. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Smell commands.
Follow-up question, though.
Uh-huh. Follow-up to his or to yours?
To his.
Okay, great.
If you are their queen ant, in order to keep sweating ants and rebuilding your army, do you have to have sex with the drones?
Great question. No, you. It's pretty much any time you sweat. Unfortunately, you live in Antarctica.
Oh.
So it is very difficult to sweat because you're freezing most of the time. You do not have a parka nor any shelter. In fact, you pretty much have to freeze to death unless you can work up some sort of a sweat, in which case then you have a bunch of ants that can provide you body heat. Does that make sense?
Can you, as the girl with Glenn Beck, make sex so distasteful to him, so horribly distasteful, that he would not want to do it with you? And then how would that affect the covenant into which you've entered?
And how would you achieve this?
Humiliation and burning, cigarette burns and things like that.
Well, if I'm getting your question correct, then he would wonder why every single girl or guy that he's with humiliates him in the same way, and it would turn him off sex forever.
That would be the sensible response to that situation.
Great question. No.
Great. What do you mean no?
No, you're not allowed to do that. You have to sit there and take it. You're basically,
but that in and of itself, depending on what kind of a guy he is, that would make him not want to have sex. If everybody he was having sex with was just sitting there and taking it, I don't know. It doesn't sound so bad, but some people don't like it.
You're basically sharing consciousness, much like Firestorm, the Nuclear Man, with whoever you're sharing the body with. So you and Professor Stein or whomever is also in that body, you're both controlling the body to where the person that he's having sex with is giving Glenn Beck just enough to want to have sex with his Viagra boner for hours and hours and hours. Meanwhile, you're sitting there arguing and wrestling with the consciousness, trying to get the person to stop, and yet you never win that argument.
Now, while I'm having sex with Glenn Beck, can I command my ant army to attack him?
Great question. You do have an ant army in this that you don't need to sweat. You just command all of the ants. So your
even in the quantum leaping thing.
Yes, that is your one defense in sex, is while you're sharing consciousness, you can command ants to rally and try to storm Glenn Beck's quarters and cover him in ants, which basically would then get him to stop having sex.
But then here's my question. Do you sweat the same kind of ant every time, or different species of ants?
Oh, boy, that's a great question, because different kinds of ants will fight each other.
In the first scenario, you mean, because you don't sweat ants in the second scenario.
Right.
You sweat red ants, which sting you all the time. So
always red ants.
Always red ants. They sting you when they come out of your body. It's very uncomfortable.
If the ants hear the song CNC Music Factory's Everybody Work Now, if they hear the song Everybody Sweat, will they appear even if I'm not sweating?
That is a great question. That is the one way that you can get them to appear, and they appear not ant-sized, they appear human-sized. Oh. And that's any time that song is played in the world over. One giant ant, sort of made up of thousands and millions of tiny ants, will appear to you. And it can talk No pheromone commands needed, and it will grant you two wishes.
But will the human-sized ant also work its way out of one of my sweat glands?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Do the ants speak with the voice of Woody Allen or Dave Foley?
Great question. It really just depends on your own personal preference. I mean,
it's a tough call.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Woody Allen, and I appreciate his work more so than enjoy it nowadays. Sure. I would say Dave Foley for me. It really depends on what you like.
How about Stallone? Can I get him in there?
Of course, of course.
All right.
But then if you have, if the ant is speaking like Stallone, does he share Stallone's personality? Does he want to talk about human growth hormone and Tea Party stuff? Like,
great question. He's always asking you to cup the balls and take the shaft, as that old Hollywood legend goes. That's really much all he ever wants to talk
about. How is it that tape has not surfaced after all this time?
I know.
It's impossible.
We've
got to hear it. We've got to hear it. This should be a national emergency. I want every resource.
The emergency broadcast system goes off.
Yeah, pull people out of Libya, pull people out of Egypt, and let's get them focusing on finding the Stallone tape.
We need that tape.
I mean, if we haven't found Osama bin Laden, I guess it stands to reason we can't find this tape either.
Bump that one off the priority list. Forget about whoever did the anthrax thing. Let's put everybody on the Stallone tape.
All right. Well, we're just about to close the floor for questions. I'm closing the floor. Now we have to vote. Patton Oswalt, how do you like to vote?
I don't want to be stung by red ants, freeze to death in Antarctica, and have a human-sized ant work its way out of one of my sweat glands. So I would just have to find a way to learn to lay there and take it during... Can I please ask a follow-up question to the Glenn Beck thing?
This is highly unorthodox, but
please.
I will allow it.
Is there any way I could take some sort of meditation classes so that over the years I can detach myself mentally, or every time I quantum leap in, I am fully... like painfully aware of what's happening, and there's no way to not be aware of it.
You are able to take these classes, however, they never really work because it's really hard to meditate with a Glenn Beck dong in your mouth. Oof. And he insists on it being there 90% of the time. And especially with what he's muttering to you, you know, and what's weird is he's not muttering anything about sex. He's just kind of like going over his next day's show with you.
He's working out the conspiracy theories and
stuff.
Yeah,
you know.
I got to hear a lot about Ayn Rand.
Yeah, exactly. So you're voting still with the...
I'm still going to vote for the Glenn Beck thing. The red ants are so painful.
All right, here we go. And Don DeMello, how do you like to
vote? This is actually very, very easy for me.
You don't say.
The idea of having sex with someone who is covered in ants that are attacking him. Well, this is a classic no-brainer. We'll do it in a heartbeat. I don't care, Glenn Beck. I don't care who it is.
All right. So let's see. We have one. No, we both have both voted for Glenn Beck. Oh, my gosh. Well, let me tally up the points here. Just purely on style alone, Don DeMello is our winner today.
Yeah.
Oh, are you kidding
me? Those were great questions. Style.
Yeah.
Those were so great.
That's normally where I count the points as in the question.
Although don't you feel like we learned way more about Don based on the questions he asked than we did by directly asking about his life? Like,
yeah, we really
did. We learned about what his concerns are, what his fears are.
Isn't that interesting? Want to know about somebody? Tell him to ask you a question.
Tell him to ask you a question.
That's great advice. Old proverb.
You find out what they care about.
All right, well, that is just textbook how you play Would You Rather.
Oh, no.
Shut up, guys. Shut up. And that is how you play Would You Rather. Boy, it seems shorter that time.
What? Whoa. That's
how you play. It seems so short at that point.
I felt like it was too long that time.
it's always shorter coming back from a trip than going.
That's true. All right, guys. Well, we're at that point in the show where there's really only the most popular segment possible at this point. And, of course, we know it's time for plugs.
This is of course time for plugs.
Let us link legs at the knees.
This is of course time for plugs. plugs. This is of course time for plugs. This is of course time for. This is of course time for. This is of course time for plugs. This is of course time for. Time for. This is of course time for. Time for. This is of course time for. Time for plugs. Plugs. Plug. Plugs. This is of course time for. Plugs. This is of course time for. Plugs. This is of course time for. This is of course time for. Time for plugs.
I must ask for the return of my handkerchief, as I have been so moved.
Oh, that was great. That was by Donovan Delisle. Donovan Delisle, great plugs theme. Boy,
Delisle, plugs theme composer.
I really love the plugs themes. I wish people would put that much energy into the Jukebox Jury songs. Let us go around the horn. Let's start with Patton Oswalt. What do you have to plug, sir?
May 14th, I'll be recording my fourth album in Seattle. Fourth album and special at the Moore Theater. Details will be posted on my website and Twitter soon.
You'll be asking for Moore Theater after you see Patton's show.
Thanks for running with that baton.
Gorgeous.
And Don, what are you doing lately?
Well, Cinderella at the Fairy Tale Theater. Disney Cinderella at the Pasadena Fairy Tale Theater, endorsed fully and wholly and wholeheartedly by Disney and the Walt Disney Corporation and the family of Walter.
So you don't have
Elias
to go that
Disney.
Far with it.
Really asking for it with that.
Hey, it's a popular company, that Disney company. You got to
get played in court. I know it.
Got to get into bed with them.
All right. Anything else?
Anything after Cinderella?
April 29th, there is a one-man show at the Upright Citizen Brigade Theater featuring Andy Daly. I don't know.
Not a fan.
Ever, yeah, me neither. I don't care for him, but he asked me to please.
One-man show? What would he do with that?
Good question.
Like, who is he? Like, you know what I mean?
Who is the real him?
You know what I mean?
I know.
Although
I don't like that.
I got to say, that's really nice of you to... That sounds like something that you especially would not be... I mean, I'm just trying to imagine you being pitched. It's a guy on stage talking. Like, wouldn't you want
to... Yeah, it seems to me like you want to get in there and direct him.
What would you add to that?
Well, that's what this is all about. I'm trying to, you know... I would love to do at least some consulting on this show because it is
literally... What would you have him do?
Yeah.
What would I have him do? Gosh.
You can't just stand there and talk, right?
No. Well, I mean, he could do whatever the fuck he wants as long as he's got some girls, you know, diddling each other back there, and maybe, you know what I'm talking about? He could do his little characters, but I would get some girls out on stage, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
Bring out the girls.
Bring them out. As far as I go, let's see, on IFC this week, I'm talking to Danny McBride this week, which was a great interview. I had a lot of fun with him. We're talking about Your Highness, which opens this Friday.
That's right.
And check out Mike Detective and check out the Earwolf site and leave a comment for this and leave, of course, vote on What's Up Hot Dog. We will not be saying that this episode, but I would love to hear your thoughts about whether I should say it in the future. And that's it, guys. We did it.
Andy Daly is on the Paul Reiser show, too, as long as we're talking about him. I don't know when this is going to air.
Now, in speaking to him... Well, never mind. I don't want to say that.
Yeah, yeah.
you agree?
Ask him. I wish Andy Daly was here.
Yeah, I wish he was, too. We never really got into any of your hopes and fears about the future or whether you get depressed ever or...
Oh, I never think about the future. I'm living in the moment and in the past with all those whores.
I feel like that was really an omission, though. I would love to have heard if you ever get down or if you ever kind of feel like life
is...
Hey,
you know what? There's another cliffhanger, another show.
Yeah. A cliffhanger, and we will get to it another time. I'll just tell you one little tidbit that I am planning to kill myself.
Okay.
Well,
All right. That's all I wanted to know.
Wow.
Okay, very good.
Okay. All right, guys. I want to thank Patton Oswalt. I want to thank Don DeMello. Thanks to Engineer Doug. We will see you. This has been episode 99, the Barbara Feldon episode. We will see you next week for episode 100. I'm Hot Sosserman. See you then. Bye-bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio Boom.com. The wolf dead.
Hey, everybody. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Everyone knows that the holidays, it can kind of be a little bit hard on the pocketbook. Well, if you're looking for creative ways to increase revenue and give your family and friends the holiday gifts they want, they need, they deserve, then you need to get started with Squarespace's new feature, Squarespace Courses. That's right. I mean, you could teach a course in something. I could teach a course in podcasting. Well, who'd be interested in that? Let's be honest. Maybe not me, but you could. Sure, yeah. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own online course. Here's what you do. You start with a professional layout, and then you upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills. With Squarespace courses, you can create engaging content and then simply add a paywall and set the price. Plus, you can charge a one-time fee or you can sell subscriptions. Turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you are ready to launch, go to www.squarespace.com/bangbang. You're going to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/bangbang. Remember the first time you learned how to ride a bicycle? Just taking your feet off of the ground and putting them on those pedals and no, nothing's holding you up except your own sense of balance. Oh, gosh, the nostalgia for something like that. Well, you know what? You can experience it again this spring. Get out there, enjoy the weather, and recapture the magic of riding a bike with Electric E-Bike. That's right. They have an amazing variety of models built for riders of all abilities, including mine, poor. It's never been easier to fall in love with riding again. Go to electricebikes.com to discover e-bikes that start at just $799. With the XP Lite, anyone can ride with a variety of models designed to be a better mode of transportation. There's the zippy and affordable XP Lite, a great start to any e-bike journey. And we also have the Expedition. That's right, the letter X and then Pedition, a sturdy and versatile cargo e-bike that can hold up to 450 pounds. You know what? Electric e-bikes, they gave my good friend Paul F. Tompkins one of these things. He loves it. He's tootling around every day on it. Ring, ring. Hello. Hello, everyone. It's improved his social life. He used to be a hermit. He used to be sort of a Scrooge-like miser character. And now he's out there on that electric e-bike saying hello to the entire community. And you can, too. Go full throttle into spring with Electric e-bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com. Please, please, please mention the Comedy Bang Bang the podcast sent you in the post-checkout survey. That is electric, L-E-C-T-R-I-C, and then ebikes.com. That's how you get there. Okay, bye! This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What is the first thing that you would do if you had an extra hour in your day? Can you imagine if every day was 25 hours? Would you sleep during it? Maybe you could sleep more, especially if you, but maybe you can't sleep more. It would be an extra hour to do like fun stuff for you. You could, maybe it's like you're always like, I can't exercise. I can't find the hour. Well, now you got it. Well, a lot of our friends and neighbors out there, we spend our lives wishing we had more time, right? Well, the question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? Well, therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And you can learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/bangbang today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/bangbang.